We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Never miss a moment. Go listen to the Todd Feinberg podcast on the Odyssey app.
Hey, hey, it's WTIC. How psyched are we? The Red Sox didn't lose badly, right? They managed to come back after giving up like five runs early in the game. First 6-4 they lost. But I think that was the first inning, right? They were down 5-0. They crawled back. That was respectable. And we have the transmitter back. And we're back in action. So everybody can hear us. We've been doing the, just so you know, it when the Red Sox are on, we're still doing talk radio. We do it on the Odyssey app. We do it on our online platforms. The Odyssey app, you can listen. And you can go to the website, WTIC.com, and listen to the stream there. And that way, you've always got the stuff that matters most to you. Whether it be Red Sox, or whether it be the usual stuff that we're discussing. That was a fun hour, but now we get to have another fun 2 hours that everybody will hear. And you can take part in rant line number 860-751-4698. We'll play the rants in a little over an hour. And coming up in a few minutes, we have Juan Pablo Valesmil joining us. He's a regular guest, a young guy from youngvoices.org. His background is from Venezuela, but he grew up in the U.S. And he just has a really unusual perspective. And he's a really smart kid. And he makes wonderful political arguments, and we're going to do that with him. Coming up, we're going to get a traffic and weather update first, though. BPS Lawyers Traffic Center is where we go. Mark Christopher with the latest, Mark.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
WTIC on a Thursday afternoon. Red Sox game over. We are all together here on WTIC on the Odyssey app at WTIC.com. Wherever you like to listen, you are tapped in. This is going to be a good conversation, I know, because we're talking with Juan Pablo Valesmil. Yeah, I did. I switched it. It's not going to work, though. It never works the first time. But I switched it. You'll see. We're going to talk with Juan Pablo Valesmil. He is a regular here. He is a really bright kid, and he's a speaker of youngvoices.org. A contributor to them and to the Spectator world. And let us welcome Juan back. Hello there, sir. What do you mean, wrong one? I did? Hang on, Juan. We'll get to you in a sec. What do I need to switch it to? Master control? Talk studio? That's what I did. I switched it to talk studio. Okay, master control. Here we go, master control. All right, now we'll try it and see if it works. This is what happens after a Red Sox game. Juan, you there?
Yes.
It worked. You were right, Roland. Thank you. Okay, I just read a story you wrote, a column you wrote on The Hill, which is quite profound and powerful, I think. It's a few days old and still is percolating through the culture. Conservatives must defend free expression, including rights of pro-Palestinian protesters. Explain, if you would please, Juan, why we should worry about those people who are out there doing and saying all those horrible things.
Yes. So my article, I start by mentioning Alexis de Tocqueville, who, if you're a conservative and you dabble in the philosophy and history, you must know who that guy is. And for Tocqueville, and for the Founding Fathers as well, free association, free expression more broadly was important, because when you know who's angry, when you know who's dissatisfied, those factions, even when strong, are noticeable, and therefore you avoid conspirators, you avoid conspiracy, which is the first thing you want to avoid in a functioning republic. So I do understand that when it comes to private universities, there's an interesting intersection between private property rights and free expression, the principle of free expression. But what I've observed is that a lot of my conservative peers have kind of forgotten about the principle of free expression, like the reason why it exists. And that just, like, it's not just like, oh, say whatever you want. It's freedom of thought, the exchange of ideas, and so on. And a lot of them have hyper-focused on property rights, and they've used that to argue universities can do whatever they want, just kick them all out, send the National Guard, shut down all the speech, because a lot of these folks, a lot of conservatives, like myself, are not necessarily the most pro-Palestine activists in the world. We tend to side with Israel often. But I do think that we should refrain from being so easygoing with calls for shutting down a protest.
Well, what you're saying, Juan, I think, is that we are getting lazy in terms of our principles. So it is principles of freedom that we support, and free speech we know is what drives the marketplace of political ideas. And in order to have a good working through of political ideas, it's best for all speech to be out there, just like it's best in any market for everybody to have a chance to put their wares out for sale. So we have a chance to hear the ideas if we listen. And it seems there's a rush on the conservative side to automatically judge on an emotional level the people who are protesting. This is how I sort of feel it in myself. Like, I feel this anger rise up when I hear the kids talking and hear what their positions are. And it's easy to forget what the principles are that we're supposed to be moved by. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of things that I've heard that are, you know, quite obviously despicable. Clear support for Hamas and for violent actions has been expressed in these protests, especially at Columbia University. And I've also seen, although they're rare, instances of actual physical violence. And of course, that specifically is not protected by free expression. So I'm all in favor for arresting actual terrorists. I'm all in favor for having police forces nearby. I'm all in favor, if you're a private university and you have actual tents in your backyard, you should be able to be like, hey guys, protest all you want, but you're not going to have tents here. You're not going to sleep here. We don't want the equivalent of you know, 100 homeless people sleeping in their backyard, in this case, students. They have a right to do that. But as you said, most of the time, most of the statements that I'm seeing online, especially on X, Twitter, are originating from a strong disagreement on foreign policy views. Like, I see a lot of guys with, you know, Israel flags on their bios. Nothing wrong with that. But they seem to be some of the people, you know, shouting the loudest, send the National Guard, shut it down. These are terrorists. There's actually a professor at Columbia University who's Israeli. His last name is Davidi. I forgot his first name. And he's actually calling the protesters terrorists. he's drawing this, he's playing with words, and he's saying, if you support terror, you are by definition a terrorist. And we've never used that word that way. If you're a terrorist, is not just like someone who likes bad ideas and like supports foreign policy decisions. Terrorist is like, you know what a terrorist is. And most of these students are not terrorists. They're like dancing around, singing stupid songs, and saying their crappy ideas. But that's not a crime.
So Juan, yeah. you remind me of a couple of months ago when the university presidents were called up to Washington and they testified in front of members of Congress, and they were asked specifically about where they would draw the line and what kind of actions they would take and what would they say if they heard this and they heard that. And it sounds like what you're saying is that we got it wrong in our response to those university presidents when they were hiding, it seemed, and not answering the question, because they were saying as long as nobody is acting on the threats, then we don't have to worry about the threats. Were they actually correct and misjudged by the angry mob?
So I think that a lot of the backlash that they received was correct because of the way they expressed themselves in Congress and not exactly the most illuminating. And I do think here's where the law gets more complicated. Universities have their own contractual obligations, mm-hmm. and then some people insert civil rights law into the conversation, which obviously complicates it even more. And of course, universities have expressed their responsibility, specific universities, for keeping a safe environment so that they can have classes and so on.
And so they can have what?
I would say that, yes, if you have a bunch of people screaming that they want to kill a specific group of people, universities should be able to, you know, have police forces there, make it safe, make it feel safe, and have set of policies to prevent that from becoming an actual riot, for instance. But yes, the response of a lot of Republicans back then and still today is often a little too much. Because if you are going to make that argument for why abstract calls for genocide, for instance, are in themselves a violation to government-protected free expression and not just private university decision-making, then that's problematic. And what we've seen in a lot of these universities, it's not that they're just expelling the students, is that they're calling the cops. And they're coming in riot gear. And this is where things get a little more complex, because you have what the universities can do and should do, decisions that they can make, but then they're involving the government forces here and to shut it down. So they can't you've never seen me in this position.
Which is what?
Complicated, so I'll say. But there's the principle, and then there's
the
legality.
Application of the principle into the legal world.
And I think legality-wise, those people that are saying, yeah, they can kick them out, they'll kick them out, they do have the law can be by their side. The law is on their side if they shut it down or if they don't shut it down. Especially because at Columbia, here's where we get a little more intricate. Their contractual obligations, right? Is that what they tell students is that they have guaranteed free expression and so on. But then, if they tell you, "Hey, you cannot do this," and they tell you in advance, "Hey, mm-hmm. like we're going to shut it down," and you're still there, then that becomes trespassing.
Sure.
So, in regard to Columbia specifically, that's why they had the law on their side. Because they inform the students beforehand.
And they do have a responsibility to maintain a safe environment and one where they can follow their mission as well. And this goes to them being a private institution with their own the right to make their own rules, and they don't have to follow the free speech rules of, say, a public square.
Yeah. And Todd, another argument that I think it's important to make is that legality and principle even aside, there's also a social argument to be made, in the sense that if you send police forces and you arrest 100 students at a specific university after one day of protesting, what do you think that might create? And this is exactly what I said. Like when I saw the police come in riot gear,
that you're fueling the fire.
Yeah, and now we have that same thing happening in every university in the country, apparently. And a person with, I don't know, like common sense, because these people appear to be high IQ and like they're quite sophisticated and they have a lot of degrees, but mm-hmm. the common sense doesn't seem to be there. By sending the police and arresting the 100 people, I think they made things worse. They came back that same day.
Well, they're trying to satisfy, I think, the people on the college campuses making decisions. They're trying to protect themselves. They're politicians, and they're trying to do what's going to preserve their hold on power and to maintain order for the university. So they're, I think, obviously being pressured to be aggressive in their response and to demonstrate, which they've been very reluctant to do, that they do support the rights of Jews and Israelis and others, not just the rights of those protesters who are anti-Israeli and anti-Jew in the way they act sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody has to have their right of expression and their right to move around freely and to be in a safe environment.
Yes, I agree. That's how, after I wrote that piece, I thought about it more and more and more, and I was like, oh man, I wish I could have written like a 20,000 word piece, because it is quite complicated. And what I would add is that as a university administrator, I don't know what I would do, because there's big chunk of donors and students that are dissatisfied, and then there's another big chunk of students and donors that are dissatisfied.
Yeah, the students and donors and administrators and staff and professors all on different sides of this, and they're getting calls from Congress too. So
if I were a university administrator, especially at an Ivy League school, maybe not send the police force early on, but just like tell the students that you guys are going to be expelled. You're not getting your degree.
Yes.
That
and you're going to find out that your card does not get you back into the dorm or into the dining hall. Like you're off limits which a lot of them did, I think, and that is a persuasive thing. All right, Juan Pablo Velasmil, it's a terrific column. It's in The Hill, thehill.com, I believe, is the website. And the story is called Conservatives Must Defend Free Expression, Including Rights of Pro-Palestinian Protesters. Great to talk with you, sir, as always, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
All righty. That's Juan Pablo Velasmil. And you can find him on social media. You can find him at The Hill. You can find him at youngvoices.org. And what do you think of those ideas? 860-522-9842. Let's get ourselves a little traffic update. Mark Christopher, BPS Lawyers Traffic Center.
Miss something?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The Todd Feinberg Show. Don't stress. Listen to the podcast at WTIC.com or on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, Todd. So I heard your guest speaker there. And Taichi, I've been listening to you too much because it's kind of getting disappointing in some of the topics. But for you to bring on him from the Hill, he's a Jew-hating little punk. That was disgusting. That was what he said. What he said was unbelievable. So now I put two and two together because the conservatives have to be responsible and let the terrorists speak. So let's put this. Let me ask you a question. If these were white supremacists coming to any college calling for the killing of black people, would you have anybody on to say anything close to what he just said? No, you wouldn't. You never, ever would do that. And I'm going to say something else. I remember what you said after October 7th when you blamed Israel and the United States. You did too. You got to be kidding me. They have that because the Middle East hates the Jews. Do you understand this? It's not going to change what Israel does. They're not supposed to protect themselves. So what do you think they should do? What should Israel be doing? What should Israel do? You know who makes more terrorists? The imams and the clerics in the mosques. You understand this? No, they don't need fuel. Israel gives.
VPS Lawyers Traffic Center, Mark.
Listen to the Todd Feinberg Show on the free Odyssey app. Download and like WTIC and follow Todd Feinberg today.
WTIC. So there's really nothing outrageous, I don't think, about having a discussion about the need to protect freedom of speech. It's one of the fundamental rights that is protected in our Constitution because they were considered by the founders to be God-given rights. And if you remember back in, I think it was in the 1970s, when there was a white nationalist march in Skokie that became quite famous because it was the ACLU sued on behalf of the white nationalists to defend their right to free speech. And when you consider cases like that, and there's also an extremist religious group that I don't know if they still do it, but they used to go to protest against American soldiers who were I'm just trying to remember how to frame it. They would go to the funerals of fallen American soldiers to protest the whatever their actions had been. I don't recall what it is. Maybe it was fighting in Iraq. And they would say the most horrible things to the families of the fallen soldiers. They would yell. They couldn't get close, but they were, you know, they're kept some distance away. But that's the notion of free speech. The idea of free speech is everybody gets to speak. And as long as you're not stepping over an extreme line of inciting violence, then you have a right to your ideas and the expression of your ideas. So I don't want to violate those principles, because those are fundamental founding principles to the U.S. Constitution. And what we need to defend ourselves from is our government, which is now the most dangerous force in our lives. And we have to be careful and reluctant to side with government when we might be giving them the power to someday be stopping us from exercising our civil rights. Let's talk to Stephen Meriden. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon. Very good show today, and good one yesterday. And you brought a memory back about the funerals. I'm a Vietnam veteran, got out in 68, and I did go to a lot of funerals, and they did do that to the soldiers. But
what did you think of that?
Yeah, it was like I said, it brought back memories, and I was on another subject with you about yesterday. You were talking about a slug, you know? And what a slug was, and it's related to a snail but has no shell. But you were looking for the word leech.
Yes, I was thinking of leeches.
Yeah, those are worms that suck blood. They were formerly used by doctors back in the 30s and 40s.
Oh, that's right, to bleed people out. So that's different from a slug.
And no, but they still a bunch of leeches in Congress. I mean, they're bleeding us, you know, little by little. You don't feel it because that's what a leech does. You don't feel you're taking the blood or the money.
Yeah.
But the rabbi was very great yesterday, too. Like I said, I'm a caller mostly to Pastor Will, but you guys catch me in the afternoon, and I have to call back sometimes.
You catch us in the afternoon. I'm glad you do. Thank you, Steve, for that. It's good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Fred in Middletown. Hi, Fred.
Hey, so let's see. How many protesters can post up on the head of a pin might be what we're talking about here. It's that obstructing traffic and stuff, man. You know, protest is like you're wearing it on your shirt or you're saying it. Yeah. And then, you know, okay, anyone who's not a student here has to leave. Oh, okay. And then the chick who didn't know what they were there for, you know, are we really going to fight for her right to post up and yell something she doesn't know what it means?
Well, and why should we care?
Well, that is if she's in the way, and there's a question of, like you're obstructing something. But, I mean, I'm just saying it has come out that, like, let's say the protester, quote-unquote, doesn't necessarily know. I mean, I think that's a component of the argument that, you know, what is going on here? And then some of it, it's this other thing. It's this social thing. And, I mean, people know how to manipulate that. And it's, like the Constitution, null and void. I have a quick rhyme. It's debuting right here. And it's called Edward Minor Lumberjack Lamont. Well, before young Ned was fully 1 year old, he is reported to have spit out his silver spoon and exclaimed, "What? No gold? Thank you."
That sounds just about right on target. Thank you for that, Fred.
Bye-bye.
All righty, take care. Tim in Hamden next. Hi, Tim.
Well, 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 that blows my joke, because I was going to call up and say that the governor has just won a prestigious award. He won the Arbor Day Award. I don't know what they do. Anyway, that's to plant trees for those
of you
who don't know. Okay. he was just, you know, a couple of years ago, everybody go out and plant trees. Okay. I'm concerned about the news reports, and some of us get from different things. I get my news sources from all over the world, BBC, Al Jazeera, all over the place. The story now is breaking about the mass graves that, you know, essentially some of the Israeli soldiers were probably involved with, mass graves near the hospitals. You know, again, a country has a right to defend itself. It also has a right to do it in a responsible manner, where they don't kill people that are serving food, like the World Kitchen and or the truck out of convoys that were passing out food, you know, to those kinds of things. So when someone calls up and says, you know, you're against Israel. No, we're, you know, we're the country of Israel. It's the 1 million people in Israel who are in the streets demanding that Netanyahu resign and don't like the scope of this war. All of those kinds of things are out there. So, you know, the students may have a degree of right to say that we need eventually to have peace in the Middle East. Are we going to have, you know, what are we going to do? A two-state solution, you know, a one-state solution. What are we going to do about that? And I hear a lot of people just almost automatically saying, I'm with Israel. I'm with the Jews. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Does that mean they could do anything at all? You know, commit war crimes, you know, that sort of thing? No, of course not. So how do we find that kind of balance to it? I hear so many people, you know, just mad at students because they're protesting, okay? Maybe they don't know all the issues and in depth, but maybe a lot of people also who consider themselves well-educated and out in the workforce don't know about atrocities, mass graves, you know, all the, you know, tremendous.
So the mass graves you were referring to, Tim, are those the ones in the hospitals and are those
near that area of which they've been? And this is, again, you know, being reported by the BBC, other places. And
is the allegation that they are that those bodies
by the Israeli soldiers, the idea.
OK,
you know, that's the kind of thing that we need, you know, good coverage on that. Eventually, you know, we don't need a war in the entire Middle East, you know, but we also just don't need to turn a blind eye to including a good ally doing something that's so wrong, you know, that we have to, you know, look at it and say, how much more can we contribute? I'm glad that Biden is trying to put a little bit of pressure on them for a real, you know, ceasefire and return all the hostages. We've got to return the hostages. Seems to be really loss of the entire thing also.
Yes.
We're not talking about them at all.
Yeah, I think you're right to point that out. Thank you, Tim, for the call. It's good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. The point is, we have constitutional rights for a reason, because government is evil and government is dangerous, and that includes our governments and the governments of other countries. And so we have to be consistent in defending the appropriateness of people's actions. And it's good for us to have conversations challenging whether things are being done the right way or not. That's a pretty simple concept, and it's a very American concept. Like, that's what America is all about, defending our God-given rights rather than arguing for ideas that might serve the interests of people in power more than they serve the principles that we stand for. 860-522-9842. Jim in Wellington. Hi, Jim.
How are you? You know, as long as we have the government we have, we're always going to have some part of it trying to take away some of what's in the Constitution that protects the populace.
Or more than some.
Well, it's more than some now, but there's always going to be that.
Yes.
As far as the First Amendment goes, you stole my thunder. Without a doubt, the worst of speech needs to be protected by the First Amendment. Otherwise, it's useless. And I'll say, obviously, it's horrendous what people can say or what people can do. But I think if our society was stronger enforcing the laws that we have against some of this stuff and mm-hmm. doing it correctly, mm-hmm. I think you'd see a lot of it dissipate. And right now we have a situation where our government, especially us, a lot of our states, is not. We are weak. We do not enforce. Everybody's afraid of what the yelling and the screaming, or what they're going to be called, or the cell phone on mass. We're afraid of the absolute minority of any one of these positions that quite a few people might take up on any subject. We're afraid of it. We will not stand up. We will not back up the society that we say we all believe in, or that we want to live in. And as far as Israel goes, Israel's responsibility, obviously you mentioned it, it's about protecting themselves, yes. But I haven't seen one protester anywhere screaming about Assad, screaming about ISIS, screaming about what's going on in Iran with its own people, screaming about what Iran has been doing to the Palestinians or in other people in that area. We haven't even talked about China. And I think, did I mention the Sudan in Africa?
All right, you're going too far off. I'm going to hold you there, Jim, but I appreciate your call, and it's good to hear from you. Mike in Farmington. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. How are you? Oh, I've understood for a long time that Americans no longer know right and wrong. Every little detail about what's wrong. But let me tell you about Islam and Hamas. In their Quran, it is okay to lie to infidels, to deceive them. All the information you hear coming out of that area, Palestine, is from Hamas, and they will lie about everything. Then nobody picks up on the fact that when Israel's going to hit an area, they give advance warnings and say when and where, and Hamas will not.
Mike, I'm sorry. We're getting wicked breakup on your phone line. I'm going to put you on hold and see if we can straighten it out. Tom in Thomaston. Hello there, Tom.
Hey, hello. Hey, 2 points. One, the reason is some people in Israel are protesting the war is because they're a democracy and they have the right to do that. If they were protesting Hamas...
Well, that's great. Nobody here is objecting to them protesting whatever they want to protest. That's good.
Yeah, well, that caller made the equivalency that, you know, there's some protesters, so thus Israel's wrong for fighting the war. Israel gave Palestine five times the land in the 1950s, and they said
I don't want to hear about it, Tom.
Okay. Well,
I want to hear about now and what our responsibility is as the most powerful nation on earth, which is paying for the destruction of Gaza right now and paying Israel to do that destroying. Do we care at all what Israel does? Do we care at all what happens to those people? Do we care about the message on international TV every day of destruction being done with our money? Does that matter to us? Because that's going to lead to a lot of terrorism and a lot of heartache and a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. And we're not projecting what looks like an interest in bringing peace.
Can I answer that?
I hope so.
Okay. You slyly said the pain we're causing. War is pain.
Exactly.
We firebombed Germany, for God's sakes. We roasted innocent people alive. Why? Because it was war. And Hamas goes out of their way to hide behind civilians. So you're helping Hamas every time you bring up that part about civilians dying. Israel goes farther out of their way than any army ever has to protect casualties. But it's
so is it
happen.
Okay with you? Because this just goes on forever. You're not concerned about that.
See, that's a very sly question.
It's not. You seem to not have any limit on what you want to give Israel a carte blanche to do.
Well, I do. You want it? Is the second they destroy Hamas, they give all the.
Well, it looks like they're never going to destroy Hamas, because I don't know how you do that. But I've got to hold you right there. I appreciate your call.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.